Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in. Happy Wednesday to you. I can see that spring coming, can you? I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about today's show because we're going to spend some time looking at two aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. What the fruit of the Spirit actually is, you know, how we cultivate it in our lives, and what it means in John 15 when Jesus says, I've appointed you to bear fruit that lasts. And he talks about pruning the vine that's bearing fruit and cutting the one off that doesn't bear fruit. What does all that mean, all this talk about fruit? I'm excited to have author and evangelist Matt Brown in studio. He's been on the show a good handful of times before, and I really don't want to waste another minute because our conversations are always so engaging. So he's come armed today with just some thoughts and prayers and just insights on the fruit of the Spirit, and I've come just with thoughts on John 15, and so we're going to kind of just see how our conversation intersects. I always love to see what God does when we come together with some of our different ideas and see how God leads us. So let me tell you about my guest today, and we'll get this conversation started. Matt Brown is an evangelist, author, and founder of Think Eternity. He and his wife, Michelle, impact thousands of people with the gospel each year through live events around the world and online. And they also minister to, listen to this, 250,000 followers on social media daily. And you can find his resources on his author page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Matt, welcome back to the studio. Good to have you again.
Great to be here, Susie.
Well, I'm excited about today's conversation because there's never been a time where you've come in that we've lacked for things to talk about. And I don't even know if you know, but one of our conversations, The Introvert Evangelist, we re-aired actually several times and heard tons about it. And people kept going back to it and sharing it. And so there's always something that comes out of these conversations.
That's great. So grateful to be here and love, obviously, chatting with you about this stuff, talking about the Lord. So
Indeed. Yeah. Probably our favorite topic, right? For both of us.
Today, you're saying?
Always. Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus is the number one.
Amen. There
topic.
We go.
Yeah. No,
okay.
He really is.
So we love to talk about, you know, starting out our conversation talking scripture. And you chose Galatians 5, 22, 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Against these, there is no law. Talk about that passage and really what God's been saying to you about the fruits of the Spirit these days.
Yeah, I just can't tell you enough, Susie. This passage, this concept, these fruits have been on my heart so heavy over the last year and a half. And just thinking basically that, you know, most people think of the fruit of the Spirit, especially if they've been raised in church, they think of maybe a flannel board and some cardboard fruits that people stick
right.
on and paste to it and talk about. But really, I believe that the fruit of the Spirit has the power to transform every single aspect of our lives. And more than that, I think that God's essentially given us a guideline of what it means to look like Jesus. And so I really believe that the fruit of the Spirit will help us in our walk with Christ to be able to show Christ to the world. So it relates to how we share Christ with others, how we relate to our family. I think that it has the power just to completely transform our lives.
Indeed. And let's talk about this in depth, because I think when people think of the flannel board or they think of the fruits of the Spirit, they either it's this disconnected thing that doesn't apply to them because they can say, like, as if it's in their genes, and it sort of is in our DNA to be selfish. But, you know, I'm not patient. I'm not that kind of person, as if they can't get there from here. But the other thing is the sense that we need to crank it out, like we somehow produce more fruit by doing more. And as scripture talks about, we produce fruit by abiding in the vine. So what are your thoughts on the whole idea of cultivating a fruit-bearing life?
Yeah, I mean, I love that you're talking about connecting into the vine and how God produces fruits in us. You know, one version of Galatians 5, 22 and 23 in the beginning, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, it will look like this. And there's another passage of scripture that talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. And so there's this sense that every one of us needs to grow in these fruits in different ways. So some of us might need more patience than others.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, as we're progressing in patience, as we're progressing in love, as we're growing in our joy on a daily basis, that's how we know that we're drawing closer to Christ. That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit of God produces in us to help us, you know, follow Christ. And so the reason this has hit me so hard is I feel that we have too often in the Christian world focused on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of this starts with aiming for the right thing in our lives. So we know that we need more of this in our lives. We'll pray for it. We'll seek for it. We'll ask God to produce it in us. We'll pray that God will produce mm-hmm. in us because it's ultimately a fruit of Him. But basically, I think that we've gotten sidetracked so much in the Christian world, and I've been guilty of this. I remember studying in Bible college, and people who would have described me might have viewed me more as, and this really was what I was aiming for, was to be really intense, to sometimes have a lot of holy anger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you heard it? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you met people
sure.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a common thing in the Christian world.
Equating passion with maturity.
Yeah, equating right. passion, equating intensity, discipline, how good we can keep times of prayer and those types of things. And what the Bible says, what it means to draw closer to Christ, is that we'll produce a lot more of the fruit of the Spirit. And so, you know, it's kind of like a youth leader I had growing up who was, I'll use the word militant in his faith. I'm positive he loved Jesus so much. I'm just not sure if he loved anyone else.
And you see that sometimes.
You see that. And honestly, I think it's more prevalent because of social media and online world
mm-hmm.
is just that there's this feeling of that, and people have used this phrase, that Christians have become more known for what they're against than for what
right.
they're for.
Mm-hmm.
Every time some world leader says something or does something that, you know, we disagree with, everyone just is bashing and coming against. And there's a time for truth, right? So it's not to say that we need to cast down truth, but it's how we bring the truth of God that the fruit of the Spirit kind of creates in our lives,
you
that people will receive it.
Are speaking my language right now, and I've brought this up numerous times on this show, that I, if there's anything that burdens me right now, it's this militant anger to the point that's hatred. And you've heard me say this before. I've said it so many times before, but when I was raising my boys, they're grown now. It, because your generation really can get, you know, because you like want to be activists, and it's like, put your money where your mouth is. I'm going to put feet to my faith. And that's such a virtue. But in the flip side, I used to tell them, if you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause,
yes,
you've lost your way. You've
exactly.
lost your way. And that's what I'm seeing nowadays in this, even this biblical superiority where I'm, you know, they're waiting for the wrong word to be used and they jump on you
yep.
and they lambast you
yep.
and there's no love.
Yep.
And it's like, you might have the best of intentions, but they'll know us by our love,
yeah,
ultimately.
Exactly. You know, one thing I've thought is nowhere in Scripture does God ever give us permission to be a jerk.
Right. There you go.
People go back when they do this to, and I'll just say as I'm saying this, that I've been guilty of this in areas of my life. I'm not perfect in this, but God has revealed this to me. I'm
mm-hmm.
so hungry for more of this in my life. I'm so hungry for the fruit of the Spirit in my life. But anyways, people, nowhere in Scripture has God ever given us permission to be a jerk. And really, the thought that I have is just that the fruit of the Spirit is a guideline for us. When you want to correct another believer or you want to correct someone outside the church, ask yourself, is this done out of love? Is this done out of joy?
With patience.
Is this done with patience?
Gentleness.
Is this gentleness and kindness?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, you can present the truth of God, and that's necessary. We have no message if we don't have the message of Christ. If we don't have the message of the gospel, we have nothing to give the world.
That's right.
So it's the gospel, but
mm-hmm.
but you can always present Christ's truth out of the fruit of the Spirit. So what I was going to say is people go back to Jesus flipping over the tables in the temple. Well, he did that one time. So we get one temple card out of our right out of our
good
hole.
Word. Yeah.
So we're too focused on being an angry prophet, but what
yeah.
Christ is calling us to is to be a gentle parent
mm-hmm.
to
so
others
good.
In the faith, to encourage people to Christ. Actually, what hit me so hard about a year ago was just this thought as I was driving down the road. How is the world supposed to see the grace of God if the people of God are not gracious to each other and to the lost? And so I just became hungry for God to make me more of a gracious person. I'm still, it's a lifelong pursuit, right? But I want this. And this is what I think Christians need to aim for more than those other things.
I could not agree with you more. And, you know, remember early on in my marriage, you know, Kev is just this gentle giant, steady Eddie guy. But I would see other guys who would seem so externally passionate and intense, like you talked about. And I'm a pretty passionate and intense person, too. You don't need to comment or agree. Just you can sit there.
And yes, yes.
But anyway, I remember, you know, feeling like I wish he were more passionate because he wasn't taking maybe the leadership role that I wanted, spiritually speaking. And I remember God nailed me one day walking out of church and said, love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle. And passion does not measure maturity, love does. And your husband loves you to the depths of his toes, and he's a mature believer, and you will honor him as so. And I was brought to my knees in repentance. I'm like, Lord God, forgive me. But, you know, you can see someone worshiping their face off, and then they can walk back into the foyer and pick apart the sermon or gossip to somebody. So their passion doesn't measure their maturity.
Yes.
Love does.
Yes.
And I think this is such an important message.
I mean, the Bible is so clear that love is the defining trait, and really probably all the fruits flow out of love. And I think that what you said about your husband is what maybe some people need to hear right now on the air, just that for people in their lives and maybe even for their own relationship with their family or something, that, you know, it's the depth of the fruit of the Spirit that we need to look at as the measurement of what it means to walk like Christ. It's not these other things that the world gives us. It's, like you said, it's not passion per se, although hopefully God will grow us in passion. But what it's, the Scripture is very clear.
Yeah.
It's not when you become like Jesus, you'll be intense, you'll tell everyone they're wrong because they're not obeying Jesus. It's we need to grow in love. Lord, we need your joy. We need your peace. And there's a reason for that. It's because God knows that's what's going to bring us to the places he wants us to go.
Well, Matt, I just love what God is doing in you. And it's no surprise to me that he's speaking to you about this as a young up and coming leader, because this is his heart. I believe it with everything in me. I mean, spending time with the Lord every morning, praying for our nation, grieving really over the very thing you just talked about. And I'm asking him, raise up this winsome, strong, where you've got a spine and you've got a passion and a conviction, but you know love. And to me, that combination is Jesus. And so it's not a surprise to me that he's speaking to you about it. I'm grateful that you're listening. How do you pray I know you get grieved as well when you see, because of the online media and Christians chiming in such brutal ways where we'll assassinate another person's character based on maybe secondary biblical differences, where you can, on secondary issues that you can make a case for. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and,
totally.
And then we rip people because they just disagree with us.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you pray and what do you do when you see that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I just feel like, you know, another verse on this is 1 Corinthians 13, which we usually hear during weddings, right? But it basically says to us that the power of God, you know, and the truth of God, because it's talking about you can go be a martyr, you can see great miracles, but those things without the love of God is like a clanging gong. So people don't hear what you're saying when you're coming with that kind of spirit. And what the fruit of the Spirit does is it allows people to hear the message of God. So let's put it this way. The graciousness that God produces in our lives is what helps people see the grace of God in the gospel. And so we need this so bad. Here's an example. You know, this week I posted a post on Twitter that was strong and against sin, and I thought it was something that was on my heart. And I got so much negative response. And what I realized from that response was that people weren't hearing what I was saying.
Mm.
They were picking up the secondary issue, and they were, it was making them angry and frustrated against God and against the church. And sometimes we can't control it, right? So if you preach the Scripture and that happens, whatever, but it's the Spirit we come in.
That's right.
And I realized people weren't hearing the love of Christ. They weren't hearing the truth of Christ through this. And so I just took it down.
And see, this is a critical point because, you know, when we are bringing the gospel, when we're standing on truth and people stumble, it is too easy to go, see, they're stumbling over Jesus said they'd stumble. They're stumbling over the gospel.
Yep.
And then we absolve ourselves from our delivery. And I think this is a really critical point that, yes, this is a first and foremost. Walk in grace and humble reverence and love. Let them know us by our patience and our winsomeness.
Yep.
But in doing so, if they'll still kill martyr. They'll still martyr Christians. I mean, we still have brothers and sisters being persecuted. But it doesn't mean we don't have to look at our delivery and the posture that we embrace when we're bringing forth these truths.
Yep. Someone said, some church leader said that, you know, I believe in the Great Commission, but not to the neglect of the Great Commandment, which is to love others.
Excellent.
And so
that's good.
So, yes, preach the truth. Like I said, without the truth of the gospel, we literally have no hope for the world. We have nothing to give them as the church. But with the truth of Jesus and his resurrection and his power available to the church today, you know, when we preach that, we have to do everything in our power for the delivery to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives. And really a great verse on that is 1 Peter 3:15. I actually had, it's funny because you'll talk about this graciousness and the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll get people who respond ungraciously. You're
like, yeah, exactly.
You're not hearing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying, listen, we need to grow
exactly.
In this. 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, right? And Christians, yes, amen. We love that. But I always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But always do this with gentleness and respect. And so when we are preaching truth, we have to be known for gentleness, and we have to be known for respect. And it's not enough for us to feel that we are being gentle and respectful. The people who we're talking to need to mm-hmm. feel that way. They mm-hmm. need to hear that. And when they do that, that creates an environment where the gospel can go forward.
And, you know, what's important here, Matt, is I can probably hear somebody thinking this, because oftentimes this news gets interprets this as tolerance, to say, oh, you mean kind, which means anything goes. And that's not. I mean, we'll die for our convictions. So we're not saying be kind and gracious. But, yes, we are saying be loving, kind, and humble, and gracious towards those with whom you disagree.
Yep, and you know, we're not the message; we're just the messenger. We're telling you what the truth of God's word says.
That's right.
Jesus is telling you right now in His word, gentleness. So you know, it's not something that I'm trying to create a culture of, oh, just be nice. No, I'm saying there's a time to preach the truth, but always with gentleness, always with respect, and always caring and showing the care of God. And you know that 1 Peter 3:15 scripture also basically kind of implies people are going to notice there's a big hope in you, that when people ask you about the hope that you have. So it's not, they're not going to ask you about the doctrine that you have. They should see a whole lot of love and joy and go, what is that hope in that person's life? And they should be asking. That should be a normal thing, I believe, in the life of a Christian.
You know, Matt, I think that reflects a deeper maturity, just to say that these are truths I will live and die on. I'm going to love you. I'll lay my life down to love you well. And, it doesn't mean you're going to, I'm not a sissy when it comes to the things I believe in. I'm not preaching tolerance to all things, but even the people that I totally disagree with, I'm not afraid to speak the truth, but I'm always going to guard my heart so it comes out of a place of love. And I think some of the anger that's coming that you see underneath it is fear. And because people are so afraid of where this world is going, where the culture, how it's imploding. But so maybe watching the news, watching all the departures, because there's alarming departures, even in the Christian faith, from the truth.
Oh,
and
there
these
is.
Splinters,
yeah,
right?
It's discouraging every day,
it
right?
It is. But you look at that long enough, you're going to be stirred up in fear and angst. And so you're going to feel like it's your mission to come on strong and let people have it. And I say, glance at that stuff so you know what's going on, but gaze at the Lord. Gaze at Him and abide in Him so that your response can reflect the life of Christ in you, not the fear about what's going on around you.
Yes, that is so good. The Bible talks about this, and I've never thought of it in this context, that perfect love casts out fear. Mm. And I agree. I agree that, you know, you see the things that are going on, and everything in me wants to go post on my social media and go talk about it and go say this is wrong. But the reality is that we don't all need to do that all the time.
Right.
The reality is that we should also be very intentional, like I said earlier in the show, in being known what we're for, not just what we're against. And what we're for is that God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
What we're for is that God is so gracious to us and sending His Son Jesus. What we're for is loving people and caring for people. And sometimes that means just shutting up and just not saying everything all the time. So, yes, there's a time for people to stand up, but we also need to be very careful that we do it in these fruits of the Spirit.
And when Scripture talks about guarding your heart with all diligence, it is guarding from an unrighteous fear, an unrighteous anger that would compel you to be rude when you are called to be gracious. And in fact, in John 15, where Jesus talks about abide in me, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's what you said. If we don't have Him, we've got nothing, right? And He says, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. But if you do bear fruit, if you don't bear fruit, I cut you off. If you do bear fruit, I'll cut you back. I mean, this is a passage that we could spend a lot of time in. And just to let you know, I'm going to refer to Bruce Wilkinson's book, Secrets of the Vine, off and on throughout the rest of the program. And Multnomah is wonderful enough to offer 5 copies to 5 people who either call or write in if you've got questions for Matt or I today. But Secrets of the Vine is a follow-up from The Prayer of Jabez. It's a small hardcover book. But Bruce kind of reflects out of that passage that there are 4 baskets pictured here, Matt. Basket 1 is no fruit. Basket 2 is fruit. Basket 3 is more fruit. And 4 is much fruit. And he further writes, I've asked audiences all over the world how they would describe the level of fruit-bearing among Christians today. Their responses are consistent. They conclude that nearly half of all Christians bear little or no fruit. Another third bear some fruit. Only about 5% bear a lot of fruit. Now, why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know. I'm grateful that that God's grace covers us, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just talking about humanity and our need for Christ and for a Savior. Can I throw it back at you? Why do you think it is?
Yes. No, that's good. I did really put you on the spot. I didn't even tell you I was going to ask you that. But I'm thinking about the idea that we abiding in Him, we can bear no fruit. I think we bear little fruit when we live in constant reaction to our stuff and our circumstances rather than a response to God.
Because that's so good.
And you think about what abiding means. It means a number of things, but one thing is it means to be held. And so to be so hidden in God that you're held by Him. And so every decision you make, every response you issue is in response to the Spirit of God in you.
That's so good.
And I think that's why, because you bear fruit. Like, let's say somebody's rude to you and you're so connected with the vine and you hear the Lord say to love your enemies and you love Him. Fruit. You know, let's say you need to forgive a debt. You forgive it. Fruit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And it's like there's so little fruit because we take things into our own hands and we cut off the soldier's ear in our righteous anger.
Yeah.
And that's just my assessment.
But. Yeah, that's so good. And what I hear you saying is it's in our own pursuit of God.
Yeah.
To know and God, to love God, to follow Him. That as we pursue that these fruits start to appear in our lives. It's not, you know, yes, we pray for Him, we aim for Him, but it's really just go after God.
Yeah.
Just allow God to have control of your life, to surrender yourself fully to Him, and these things will start to increase in you. And
indeed.
You'll see those as markers along the road.
Mm-hmm.
That
would have bugged me a month ago, you know, and today I have a joy about it. I mean, you start to see that evidence, but I'm convinced you can't crank it out. I'm convinced that as you walk intimately, you start to see it reflected. But there is a God part, our part, I'd love to talk with you more about that. But I think about walk in the Spirit, don't gratify the desires of the flesh. I think we have moments to look toward the vine or look away from the vine, and that determines, am I going to, you know, gratify the desire of the flesh, or am I going to walk in the Spirit? But what would you say is our part, God's part, when you're thinking about having a fruit-bearing life?
Well, you know, this is something I continue to basically think about on probably a daily, if not a weekly basis, is just this concept, this thought. And I've been thinking about that as well. And, you know, I feel that one of them is really just aiming for the fruit of the Spirit, is not getting our focus sidetracked on maybe what it looks like when we see others who are intense and serious Christians, but to really focus on what does God's word say it means to follow Him, to be like Him. And He says clearly it's these things. And so I think if we have those things in front of us, then we're gonna pray that God would do that in us. And I would say that. I would also say, just be praying, Lord, could you do this in me? Could you make this me more like this? And I think if we capture a vision of this person that God wants us to become, that will be powerful in our lives to help produce that fruit in us.
And that's so good, Matt. And don't you think, too, that community with others who possess these attributes that maybe you don't? I mean, my husband is just the most patient, strong person I know. He's got that. He's not patient like you would think of spineless and sissy-ish. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's patient and strong. He is like steady Eddie. And just being married to him for almost 29 years now, it has rubbed off on me because I see a standard that I aspire to. And I think walking in community of people who have a gentleness that maybe you don't. And if you can't, even if you don't know anybody like that, read a biography of somebody who mirrored it. But I think just other people's examples really do serve as a reflection in our own lives.
Totally. And I would say, too, maybe it's people directly around you and your family, but also periodically God brings people into our lives. And so I know there's a handful of people in my lives that I've come across, you, Susie, in recent months, a guy named John Bloom, who's the president of Desiring God, and we did a show together with him. And Lynn Hybels recently, we did a project for Syrian refugees together. And I basically, God has just kind of brought these people in, and I'm just admiring them. And I'm just longing for more of a depth of discipleship and Christ-likeness that I see in some of these people's lives around us. And obviously, I mean, there's the obvious answers that, you know, my parents and other people too. But I just think God brings people in our lives in seasons, and we just take note and we walk with them.
That's
and
right.
Allow kind of some of the things that they've learned to rub off on us and to be imparted and invested into our own spirit.
I like that, take note, because when you take note, you kind of put it in your heart and your mind, and you see it as a standard. You know what I mean? And so then you notice it when it comes up in your life. But I think if you walk, you know, in a community of people who don't reflect that, but everything but that, that rubs off on you too. If all of their pursuits are ambition and materialism and me and the latest trends or whatever, it's somehow we take on the likeness of those we walk with. I mean, there's something that happens that's very powerful in community.
Yeah, there's a proverb that actually says, don't walk with an angry person lest you learn their ways.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so we get, I mean, not that you should, you know, disown your family, but we got to be careful. Mm-hmm. We got to be careful because it does rub off on us. And it's not to say that we need to act more righteous or better than our friends, but Pray that God produces this fruit in us. Pray that God produces in the people around us, and really focus on the people in our lives that we want to grow to be more like, because they're more like Jesus
Indeed.
Than us.
Indeed. So good. Talking to author evangelist Matt Brown today about the fruits of the Spirit. I'll give you a chance to call us, 877-933-2484. We got 5 copies of Bruce Wilkinson's Secrets of the Vine. Great conversation. Join us, 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
Radio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fabulous conversation with my friend, author and evangelist Matt Brown. He's in studio, and I'm telling you, this is so good. I you know, it's something about talking about the fruit of the Spirit nourishes my own soul. And you were saying during the break that it really does that. That's part of the thing about walking in the Spirit and bearing fruit. It nourishes others and leaves others built up.
Yeah, so much so. And I mean, I would just ask everyone to think about for a minute, who is someone like that in their life who's been so gracious, who's been so encouraging? My dad was actually just telling me a story last night about a pastor that he works with as he does some sound and production stuff, that, you know, this pastor will end the meetings and they'll be with other leaders as well. And he'll just say, I just appreciate you guys all so much. You guys just mean so much. You're doing such a great job. Hmm. And my dad said, this guy has meant so much to him in his approach, in his graciousness and really gentleness, kindness. You know, just the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in his life. And, you know, it couldn't be said that just because someone's a Christian leader doesn't mean that they're better in this than others, really.
Exactly.
You know, we all have met people, whether they're not a leader or they are a leader, that we all need to grow in this area. And so one of the things that I was thinking was, you know, think of those people in your life, and who doesn't want to be around an encourager? You know, I've never met an encourager who doesn't have a lot of friends.
That's true.
And so these qualities that God wants to produce in us, I believe, make us influential and effective, not only in sharing the gospel, but it makes us influential in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us influential with our spouses. It makes us influential with our kids. It doesn't make us perfect, but it makes us effective and more the way that God wants us to be in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in the world. And so God is producing and wanting to produce these things in us to make us more of the people that he can use. And really, there's a business book, a study that's been done called Emotional Intelligence. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's by a guy who studied really a couple different people from Harvard, and they both had the same IQ, intelligence. And one of them would go on to be extremely successful and make millions of dollars, and the other one would kind of struggle through the different companies that they went to. And they were both super smart, but the difference, what he felt, there's a difference. It's not just IQ, but it's also EQ, which is emotional intelligence. Basically, what he was saying was what the Bible's been saying for thousands of years, that, you know, if you are a person that encourages, that is gracious, that has love and kindness, you can have truth. But if you have these fruits of the Spirit in your life that God produces in you, that you will be effective wherever you go.
Yeah, and you'll have influence and you'll have honor. Read through Proverbs. There's so much about the virtues and the fruits of the Spirit there. If you just read, I have one on my desk that says, a gracious woman retains honor. I just love that. Just a reminder that just to stay in that place of graciousness. He's my defender. He's my deliverer. Then there's a proverb, and I can't remember exactly, but it sounds something like, a patient man is more powerful than a man who rules a city.
Yeah.
And you think about that. It's like there is something about that if we just trust God, that more rests on his shoulders than ours. Yeah. And I think, again, that's where we get worked up and we reflect something that's opposite of the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit, because we're taking things into our own hands.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Totally. And that's probably the problem, is that we have a tendency to want to take over, to take into our own hands. But whenever we face a challenge, whenever we face someone who just aggravates us or someone who's frustrating us, and we want to respond in the opposite spirit, or something that's going on in the world that's frustrating us and we just feel so against God and we want to respond to that, we need to pause and say, God, work your character in me and help me to respond. Because the Bible's pretty much opposite of what we would naturally do. It says, pray for those who persecute you, bless mm-hmm. those who sin against you. And it's like, mm-hmm. how can I, in my right mind, be able to do that? We can't. We need God to come and work in us. We need to pause and just ask God, would you help me to respond with your character? There's another Proverbs 16:21, and the study note by it says this. It says, gracious words make a person persuasive. And so that's really, for me as an evangelist, where it relates to the gospel, where it relates to sharing God's truth, is do we want to be persuasive? We need to do it in the way that we need to present it in the way that God wants to produce in us, which is, you know, these fruits.
So good. Okay, so this is another passage that just won't let me go these days, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and a bunch of verses, but I'll just read them and then we'll just talk about it. It says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work burns up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames. And the reason that's been hitting me so much, Matt, is that it goes back to Christians who are saved but not free, saved but not fruitful. Hmm. Because anything done apart from faith is sin. I mean, you almost never hear a sermon about that, but faith is such a big deal to God.
Yeah.
And engaging our faith in everything that we do, in our responses, when we look at what Scripture says, you give a cup of water in Jesus' name out of a heart of love, He makes note of it. I mean, you know, we make such a big deal on results and on status and position, but heaven knows who's who in the zoo. Heaven knows those who are gracious and humble and kind and take a place out of line before they insist on being at the front of the line. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And that's the stuff that's going to be measured on that judgment day. As Christians, we won't go before the great white throne of judgment. That's where punishment is handed out. But the judgment seat is for our work. And our work, the only work that's produced that will last, the fruit that will last that Jesus talks about in John 15, comes out of abiding in the vine. It's the fruit bearing life. And so that's why this is so on my heart, Matt, because there is a day when we will reckon. And so things that we strived in our own strength and our own righteous passion intensity, but we walked over people to get there, it'll burn up.
Yeah.
And that's why this is so important.
Yeah, that's so good. It's so true. Susie, I just, you know, it's that hunger and that desire to say, Lord, you know, not only do we want to do the right things, but we want to do them with the right attitude.
That's right.
We want to do them with the motivation out of a pure heart of love for Christ, a heart of love for other people. And as we do that, it nourishes other people. And then that's what you're saying. That's the work that at the judgment seat of Christ that lasts, that is burned up. And Jesus says, yeah, you did that out of you know, my spirit working in you did that in your life.
Yeah, He works for those who wait for Him. And you think, you know, I have a dream, a call of God in my life, and it's my call, and my call's so important, I'm going to walk over you to make that thing happen. Mm-hmm. That is never consistent with God's way, His timing. But if you say, He's put a dream in my heart, and He will establish me in it, and I'm going to love people along the way, I'm going to bear the fruit of righteousness, and in due time, nothing will stop when He says the time is right. I think that is a powerful, sweet spot to live in, you know?
So good.
Wow. Got 5 copies of The Secrets of the Vine if you've got a question or comment around this whole fruit-bearing, abundant life that God has for us. 877-933-2484. We've got Mike calling in from St. Paul. He's got a comment. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, a lot of Christians have not been shown and taught how to go outside, you know, having faith out their boundaries. To you know, each one of us have divine appointments. Like, we're on the street, we meet somebody, that's a divine appointment to tell them about Jesus Christ. A lot of us do not know how to bring people to Christ because we've never been shown. The churches aren't teaching that anymore, you know. And also, it's just very important for us to be in the Word day and night. Yeah. A lot of Christians don't even know the Word.
That's true.
So if you don't know the Word, and a lot of Christians kind of have this, I've been listening to you, about this poverty spirit. We need to get, as far as being in the Word, we need to know the Word. Besides just going to church on Sunday, if we're not spending time in the Word and having private time with Christ, reflecting, and having this relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not going to grow.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much for your call. And in fact, Matt, you just said that on the break. We got to talk about this. I'm glad Mike brought it up.
That's great, Mike. I mean, really, I think of this quote by R.A. Torrey that was so good. And he just said, the power that belongs to God is stored up in the great reservoir of His own word, the Bible. And there's so many Christians who maybe they love God, but they lack the power of God. And really, when we're talking about how, one of the things we talked about earlier, how does this be produced in us? How does God produce this in us? It's prayer, it's worship, it's following Him, it's surrendering our lives to Him, but it's also the Word. And it's significantly the Word. The Word, without the Word, you know, we've got nothing. And so as we study the Word, we basically are following a map and allowing God to produce these kind of this kind of character in us.
Yeah.
Study Jesus and study the Scripture and let it, you know, grow in our heart. And that will be something that will make us powerful, basically, and effective and influential.
And, you know, that's why we open the show every day with Scripture, whoever our guest is, that they would pick a Scripture, because we know and believe the Word is living and active. You know, I'm thinking as you're talking Galatians 2:20, for I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me. When you think about that, you get that in you, and so you walk it out, you pray it out. Suddenly you're realizing, I mean, Jesus already made that promise in Christ, but we, as Mike said, we don't even know what we possess because we don't know the Word.
Yeah.
And so to get the Word in you, you can walk it out through you. Bob is calling in from Brooklyn Park. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to comment about the fruit of the Spirit. In the Word, it gives us a bunch of descriptions, and it's kind of like a palette that God puts together and mixes it together for each believer, and we each have a different sweetness. Like, one can have more joy than patience, and each believer is a little different, but maybe you could say a little more, a comment on the mixtures of those for each individual believer?
That is a beautiful picture, and that's actually just really true, isn't it? That some display more of an abundance of one kind of fruit than another.
Yeah, I think of it like even the ministry of service gifts, which is, you know, we're all called to pray, but some people are just more naturally, you know, blessed by God in being an intercessor or a prayer warrior. We're all called to share our faith, but obviously there's some people that it increases, and there's actually a way that they lay it out in Youth with a Mission, YWAM, that I've heard a trainer say that, you know, all of us are called to it, to do it, but then some of us have more of a gift in it than others, and then some people are actually have the calling to train other people to do it. So it's like that with the fruit of the Spirit, but obviously we can't let that stop us from praying that God helps us grow in the areas that we need more of, because it will be a blessing to everyone around us.
I really love Bob's reflection, because that's just true. When you think about it, some, you know, if you think of joy, you can think of somebody because they just evidence joy more so. I wonder if some of that has to do with the need in their lives, because if you dig deeper into someone who walks in joy, it's not because they've had no obstacles, it's because they've had many. You know, you think of like a Kay Warren in her book, Choose Joy. The woman has known hardship, and she's thought, I've got a choice in this matter. I can choose despair, I can choose to see joy. And so I'm wondering if part of that is based on what you've had to go through, you know, patience. Maybe there's somebody who's been tested again and again, and in desperation, they've gone before the Lord, and He's given them and birthed even more so the virtue of patience. I think these are hard-fought things through abiding in the vine.
Yeah, we need to view our entire Christian life as a journey and a walk with Christ, a joyful, incredible journey. And so it's not just a day of passion that God's proud of, but it's our walk after Him.
Yeah.
And so we need to know, we can't get discouraged by where we're at now. Obviously, we can just, you know, we can realistically look at where we're at now in these areas. But we need to just see this whole journey and say, God, continue to work. Because Kate, like you were saying, Kay Warren, I mean, she's walked with Christ for years. And so each of us needs to basically just continue down that path with Christ and allow Him to do it in us, and pray that He'll do it in us, and also trust and have faith and know that He will. You were talking earlier about pruning. Do you have any thoughts about that important process is creating these fruits in us?
Do I ever?
Yeah.
I love this book, first of all, Secrets of the Vine. And so I'm going to hold that thought, because I want to make sure we give Jennifer from Madison a chance to ask her question. But yes, I'm glad you asked, Mr. Ask Me Questions. 877-933-2484. Jennifer calling in from Madison. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. It wasn't more so of a question. It was a comment. As a young person growing up, I've always been seen as this good girl who always had a good heart. And through my trials and tribulations, you know, it always come to me like I was being taken advantage of. And there was a point in my life that I would ask God to take that away, and I wouldn't let people use me. But as I became mature, and the older I get, and like now I'm maturing in my Christianhood and I'm walking more and more to God, I understand what it was now, And now I don't want that to be taken away from me.
Mm.
I see that love and that grace and that mercy, and that's what I want to display towards everybody that I see now, because that's that loving spirit in me. So it's a gift that I have, and I'm thankful that he gave it to me.
Christ in you, your hope of glory, Jennifer.
That's so good, Jennifer. You know, I just believe God has a ministry for you right where you're at, not just with your family, but maybe even extended to others. And that's also what I think there's a lot of us that need to realize, that, you know, some of these things that the world might have seen as weakness, mm-hmm. we need to realize that there's a whole lot of Christ power in that.
Amen.
Because we need to recognize that these fruits of the Spirit are gifts from God to make us who he wants us to be, to use us in the way he wants to use us.
Indeed, and to bless you and nourish others. Jennifer, thanks for your call. Okay, so back to your question about pruning. You make me laugh, Matt. And but this is, I so wanted to talk about this.
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah, and you did it well.
Yeah.
And I know how it feels to be put on the spot. It's perfect. Anyway, so he writes about this in Secrets of the Vine, talking about Jesus' words about, you know, he cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit, cuts back the ones that do. And so there's these two, you know, fold actions by God, where one is discipline and one is discipleship. And so basically he talked about when he cuts off, he said there's different scholars that think of if you're not bearing fruit, I'm cutting you off because you never were a believer in the first place. And he said, I don't believe that. He said, because Jesus is referring to these branches that are in him. So they're already in him. And so he did some study, and the Greek translation of cut off actually means lift up. And so then he was like, what does that mean? If cut off, lift up sounds like two totally different things. He met a vineyard owner. And he said, can I help you with that, understanding that? And he said, I bought him coffee on the spot. And he said, when we have certain branches that hang low and they're in the dirt, he said, so Bruce said, so do you cut them off? And he goes, no, they're way too valuable. He says, we lift them up and tie them up to the trellis. We wash them off. And it's a gritty process because they're covered in muck and dirt. And he said, really? So the cut off really is to lift up. And so Bruce Wilkinson was saying how discipline is what happens when our loving Father steps in to lift us away from our own destructive and unfruitful pursuits.
Oh, that's so good.
Isn't that so good?
So far beyond what I would expect it
Me
to
too.
Be. And that is incredibly encouraging.
It is, because he said, this shows the Father's love. And we do have lesser commitments, lesser priorities, and things that are just downright destructive. And this, he said, if you could see the tenderness of this vineyard worker to say, this is so valuable, and this is so beneath where this branch belongs, it will not bear fruit in the muck. And we won't bear fruit in the muck. And there's just stuff that keeps us weighed down, that he lifts us up and washes us off. I thought that was so good. And then he says, on the pruning part, you know, excuse me, he says he does cut back. When we're bearing fruit, we cut back. And it's almost so disillusioning, because it's like, I thought we were dancing here, Lord. I thought this was going well. And he says, if necessary, God will risk your misunderstanding of his methods and motives. His purpose is for you to cut away immature commitments and lesser priorities to make room for even greater abundance for his glory. And he says, pruning is how God answers your prayers, that your life will please him more and have a greater impact for eternity. So, okay, now I'm putting you back on
the
spot.
Now I want to read that book really bad.
Yes, I love this book. And I know that since your heart is in the whole fruit thing, this will speak to you. But I want to just ask you, from your own life, and I can think of examples from my own life, when you were doing maybe a good thing, and maybe at one point it was the best thing, maybe not, but it was no longer the best thing, where God was saying, I'm cutting this out of your life, and it may hurt, but I'm making room for more. Can you think of a time?
Well, you know, I just think, you know, regularly over the last few years, there's times when it almost seems like opportunities are taken.
Yes,
aren't there, mm-hmm. that you think, God, why wouldn't this be something that you'd want to give? And so over and over again, it's this, for me, it's been this process of learning to trust that God is so good, that God is so gracious, even in those times, even in those moments. And you know, one of the things my father-in-law has said many times is that you see, you know, that goodness of God and God's purposes in hindsight. And so sometimes it's 5 years back or 10 years back or 20 years back, and you look back and you go, that really was really good,
that's
the
right
way God worked that out in my life. Mm. And so for me, that's what it's been. I see that all the time. God never does everything I want him to do whenever I want him to do it. He does answer some of my prayers in astounding ways. Mm. But a lot of times, you know, life there's uncertainties in life, and over and over again, it's been learning to trust God in those things. And that's why, you remember when we talked with John Bloom about Not by Sight?
Yeah.
Old Stories of Walking by Faith. Oh, man, that spoke to me so powerfully in that way. And it's always encouraging to hear, for instance, people like you who, you have challenges too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have this amazing ministry and amazing things God's doing with all your books. And so it's just sometimes encouraging to hear other, you know, godly people we look up to that say, you know, listen, I've also had to continue to learn to trust Christ and have the pruning as well.
Yeah.
So I've always been encouraged by hearing stories of other people I've looked up to and how they've been pruned as well, because I experience it regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all do to some degrees. We could maybe have a once a month show on that very issue to bring encouragement to each other. We got time for one more call. I think it's Shanice. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are. Hi, Susie. Great to talk to you.
And you. Welcome.
I actually have been through that series before, too, that Brian the Branches video series. And when they had those four baskets on the video, it just hit me huge that, wow, which basket am I? And if I love the Lord, why isn't my basket full? And it's just been impressed upon me when it talks in there about the pruning or the cutting back and the lifting up, but that's the testing that Christ wants to bring us through. And if we're not willing to be tested, we're not going to have that fruit. And God wants to test us to give us a testimony. So when we're being tested, He's preparing a testimony for us to testify to His goodness and who He is. And we can just never get enough. Our basket can overflow and overflow, and then we can still get more. That's how good the Holy Spirit is.
Indeed.
It's just so rich.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love that. Oh, my goodness. And I love the passion in her voice, too. But she's really speaking to what I love to say is that God is better than we know. He always has our best interests, which is better than we can even imagine.
And something I was thinking about this week was everything God asks us to do, He's already done more for us first.
Right. Exactly.
And everything He asks us to do, He's asking us to do it out of a desire to bring us closer to Himself.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I want to, a couple of things, there are days like this where I wish we had 2 hours because there's so much we could talk about. But
let's go.
Yay, man. That's right. So we had, in the book, Secrets of the Vine, Bruce Wilkinson was at a retreat and a woman spoke to him and said, I just have my faith really doesn't amount to anything. I love Jesus, but there's no really evidence of movement in my life. And so he asked a few thought-provoking questions, and he prayed for her, and he just dared to ask her. He said, could there be unforgiveness in your life? And she wasn't sure what he meant, and after a few probing questions, a lot of bitterness came out around her mom. And on a separate book I've been reading by R.T. Kendall, he talks about bitterness is the number one quencher of the Holy Spirit. So you think about hindrances to the fruit-bearing life, unforgiveness, bitterness, unrighteous anger, and what brings us back kind of to the beginning of the show, we can feel so righteous in our cause, but if we let it get into our heart where we feel entitled to those kinds of things, we've gone on without the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's with us, but you know what I'm saying? We're on our own, and we're not representing Christ anymore.
Yeah, bitterness is not a fruit of the Spirit.
Indeed.
I mean, at least last my version.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So in this Secrets of the Vine, he's talking about the difference between disciplining and pruning, so that when he has to lift up. So he says, you know, how do you know what's happening in your life if you're being disciplined or pruned? Well, both of them are pain. Okay. Why is it happening? Well, in the disciplining or the lifting up, you're doing something wrong, which means you're in the muck. There's something in your life you've got to get rid of. In the pruning, you're doing something right. And it's pain, and he's pruning, and you're doing something right. And so the temptation, he says, is to get offended with God in this place and then get back under his discipline. Where you've got to really trust him in the pruning. If you know that you're guarding your heart and he's pruning you back, and trust him in that, okay? And he says, what is your level of fruitfulness? Well, the discipline or the needing to be lifted up, there's barely any fruit in your life. In the pruning, there is fruit in your life. What's the vine dresser's desire? Well, number one is he wants you to bear fruit. If he's in the pruning session, he wants more fruit. What needs to go? Well, if you're in the lifting up or cutting off or whatever, it's sin. There's sin in your life, and he wants to deal with it. And he's lifting it up into the light, giving you a chance to look at it, wanting to clean you off. In the pruning itself. So think about this. You're in a season where you might be bearing fruit, and you want so much to go to the next level, and he cuts you back more. Well, what comes out? Our self stuff, our self life. And will we let God have his way, or we get offended with God and be back into sin?
That's so good.
Yeah. How should you feel? Well, if you're in that lifting up, guilty, he said, because maybe you are, and then you get into that place of repentance. How should you feel if you're in pruning? Relief. And trust, because you're in his hands and he's so protective of you that he's guarding his investment. Isn't that good?
That's so good.
And what is the right response? Repentance, stop your sinning, or release, give God your permission. If he's pruning you, give him permission. Have your way in me. And when does it stop? when we stop sinning or when God is finished. And so he finally says, God isn't trying to just take away. He's faithfully at work to make room to add strength, productivity, and spiritual power in your life. A season is coming, and I promise you, when you will know that you are no longer under God's shears, everywhere you look, you'll see amazing evidence of personal transformation and expanded ministry for God.
That's so good. You know, I agree with you so much that maybe there's people listening, and that it's such a challenge in all of our lives that we need to continue to think of ways that we've got bitterness or unforgiveness and give that up to God. Or maybe there's a sin or a struggle that we've continued on. We need to give that up to God. Mm. And as we do that, that should allow right there just an unbelievable blockage from the fruit in our lives to break away, and so that God can just rush in. You know, maybe there's people that need to forgive, and they've been encountering so much pain that I think that when they let that go, that they'll encounter God's love rushing in. They'll encounter God's freedom. I think when you follow God's way, when we walk in God's way, we walk in God's peace. We experience His peace. And so He wants to flood that in. But maybe there's some of these fundamental things in the way that people need to let go of.
And so maybe look at the source of your angst. If you're rehashing a relational breakdown, maybe fast from looking at that and look to the Lord. If you're focusing and fixating on the news to the point where if someone said, have you prayed for your political leaders, you feel righteous and not praying for them, maybe fast from the news so you can get to a place where you're praying for your political leaders and the ones you disagree with, right?
That's so good.
So that we're living in a place of abiding.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says to pray for all authorities and show them respect.
Yeah.
So many times the Bible is opposite what maybe the natural, even, you know, what we would call our natural Christian response, but really it's out of the natural of the heart, because the Bible says, no, do this.
Yeah.
And so we need to allow God's word to speak pretty clearly right now, and to help us to walk in the right spirit.
And I want to just, you know, before we pray here, is that, you know, you talked about people aren't really moved and nourished by our right doctrine. Of course, we guard our doctrine, but it's that the graciousness with which we portray God's love. And so when you think about that, when you think, if there was ever a time that the world needed to be nourished on the fruits of the Spirit that represent God, represent Christ, it's now.
Yep.
And so we have a personal responsibility to walk in the Spirit and not gratify our entitled desires of the flesh. So
yeah, maybe if people would just think, like, what is a fruit that God is speaking you to grow in right now?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe through the whole show you've been thinking about it, but what is something that you say, man, Lord, Would you help me? Would you walk with me? And let's put it in front of us, and let's grow in this. And let's not only do that, let's encourage others, but hopefully with the fruit of the Spirit in a kind way.
Yeah.
Let's encourage others. Let's be posting about this on social media.
Amen.
Let's be talking about this on radio and TV. Let's be posting this on blogs. How can we love people like Jesus would?
Indeed.
Like Jesus has loved us.
Mm.
And I think as we do that, there's going to be a sweetness of the Spirit of God that invades our world today,
Indeed.
That invades across our nation today.
And I believe with all my heart, that's Christ's heart. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
My honor.
Please, please come back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. You can find a podcast of today's interview up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want to encourage you to do what Matt just said. Once this podcast gets up, send it out by Twitter, by Facebook, by email. Share it with your friends. I want to see a revival of faith, of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. I believe with all my heart, this is God's heart for us and for His church in this day. Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today. You hear this every day, and you're going to hear it again. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed and wonderful afternoon.